Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Hopefully we're a pal and a confidant and we drive into work or your wake-up routine, whatever that may be.
People asking, is it time for a jog yet? You never know. Never know. At any moment, like in the middle of the segment, it could hit me. You never know when the mood strikes.
Russ, look up what we talked about off the air just before I started talking in the second hour. Because I think I looked this up, and I think that's a fake fact that's thrown out.
It is not. B. Arthur, born 1922, Estelle Getty, 1923.
Ooh. Boy. He just fact-checked you in real time.
Well, B. Arthur then aged like...
And also Betty White, born 1922.
Okay. Wow. So she's the third oldest on the show.
She's the third oldest.
Because I'm pretty sure that Rue McClanahan was a bit...
She was younger. She was younger, yeah.
1934.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow, almost 10 years younger.
Oh, I mean, she's hot.
Yeah, man, I'm not wrong.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program.
We do.
It's a busy little program today. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so fire at the hip. Any and all questions are welcome at the Mail Sack.
I already got some good ones coming in.
You copy-pasting them?
I'm already copy and pasting them. They're already coming in.
503-864-6326. Scott Barnes decided to talk to the media yesterday. I don't know if it helped, but he doesn't hear the noise or read what people think.
No.
I love people when they lie about this stuff.
He also said the reported numbers of their revenue sharing with Blueprint were wrong, and there was wrong information out there. And it's like, part of that was a Freedom of Information Act. They literally got the contract.
He also refused to go in depth on any of that. And he just said everybody's wrong and it's misinformation. He fired the special teams coach, and he should be making the job because nobody's better at doing it than him because he's hired five coaches before.
He knows what he's doing. He's been around the block, all right? He's been through this before.
I cannot wait for this tenure to be over.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I'll really be invested, to be quite honest with you, until he's gone.
Yeah, unless there's
It feels that way to me.
Unless you hire your Kurt Cignetti and you come out of nowhere and you win 9 or 10 games and you're one of the Pac-12 and you're in the mix for a college football playoff appearance, I don't blame you at all.
Dirt and I were perusing. Text Police, think about this one. Not movies like Violent Night. Those are great for different reasons. They don't make traditional, cheesy, fun, family-filled Christmas theatrical releases anymore.
When was the last time you saw a Christmas movie in theaters?
Or you saw one that made you want to go to the theaters.
Or, yeah, vice versa.
Because I think, to your point, Fred Claus might be it for me, and that was 2007.
The last one that I saw in theaters was probably the last Grinch that they made.
Because it's starting to come out with trailers for stuff now. That's the only reason we bring that up.
I saw a random Netflix trailer for a Christmas movie, and I'm like, oh, God, it's already that time. We're already doing Christmas trailers. The last Grinch movie came out. That was the Benedict Cumberbatch was the Grinch voice, which threw me off at first. But I've grown to like that movie. 2018.
I think my wife and I went out and saw Four Christmases when that.
I saw that one in theaters.
Wait, what year was that? Because that might be mine then. Yeah, it was.
Four Christmases was 2008.
Yeah, in college, I saw that with my wife.
2008. That was almost 20 years ago.
I love that movie, by the way.
It's a great movie.
It's underrated. But I'm also a big Vince Vaughn guy. Yes, I like him in movies.
The cast is all great. John Favreau.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad.
John Voight, Reese Witherspoon. What's the... God, I'm always blanking. Ted Danson's wife's name.
Mary Steenburgen.
Mary Steen, yes. Yeah. I love her. Yes. She's delightful.
She's great in that movie.
That was probably it, 2008 then.
2008 was when that movie came out.
By the way, don't shame us for talking Christmas movies in October. Costco's fully in on this.
Oh, they're ready to go. Fred Claus, by the way, was 2007. It was 1 year prior to that.
So I had a back-to-back year run there while I was going to the theater.
I feel like
Christmas
it was a normal thing. Like, not every year, but like every other year, you'd have a Christmas movie you want to go see, and it just, we haven't had that. A lot of them are straight to a streaming service. They didn't even go to the theaters.
Well, I started the John Candy documentary last night, and then right as I hit play, my wife and daughter decide to have the loudest conversation next to me, and I'm already deaf, so I can't hear it. So I just angrily turn the TV off to send a message.
Now, do you not want to go headphones in like the family room? Is that too weird to go like Bluetooth headphones on them?
It was 8:45. Yeah. I was in my bed.
Yeah, you're laying down.
My wife was reading
you're
a book. My
bed.
Daughter wasn't in my room. I turned the movie on.
Yeah, you're feeling
and
good.
And literally, as it started, my daughter comes in. My wife puts the book down. Like,
guess Dad's not watching TV tonight. Turn it off. Quick. Watch it tomorrow.
But it just reminded me, like, he's in Home Alone, obviously, as Gus. And
Home Alone's classic.
I'd love to take my kids to see a Home Alone-like movie, but they don't make comedies or Christmas movies anymore because America has to either be slasher murder movies or dramedies or
superheroes
or superheroes. Yeah, there's, like, no comedy in Christmas movies anymore.
No, there's not.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour. We'll move on from this. So I saw a crazy stat.
What do you got?
And it's not like we don't need to dive into this part of the stat, but yesterday it was announced to no shocking development to anybody. Brian Callahan was fired of the Titans.
What? No. No.
The report came out. They were all as a staff ready to be fired 2 weeks ago.
Then they somehow beat the Arizona Cardinals.
And then they beat the Cardinals, and they thought they bought themselves the whole year.
Good. We're good, guys. We got to win. We're fine.
And then they no-showed at Vegas, and then they got fired.
Yeah.
And the owner didn't show up to the press conference, because why as an owner should you show up to a firing press conference at all as the face of the franchise?
You don't need to be there, and it's not like their former coach is doing anything with his new team and has won everywhere he's gone and been really consistent. Mm. It's not like Vrabel's having any success right now in New England.
It's a bad look. Needless to say, the only reason I bring up that, because I don't care that he was fired, everybody knew he'd be fired, that organization sucks. And if you're a fan of it, I feel sorry for you. I would ask you to do a swag, but wait it out, and maybe in 10 to 20 years, you'll be like the Mariner fan. It'll pay off because you're going to sweep the ALCS, and you're going to win your World Series.
That's a take of mine that has aged really well from, like, March. The Tennessee Titans will be ass no matter what happens in the offseason. They are terrible.
I have the sheet still in my backpack. I'm contemplating throwing it away, but I also have the Titans as the worst team in football preseason. That's aged well. But the Jets are in the running as well. Anyways, I only bring that up to say this. This is kind of crazy. I know we know this, but we forget about it from time to time. Caleb Williams got himself a nice little win last night, right?
Like, massive win.
Wins aren't a quarterback stat. He was good. He wasn't amazing, but I thought he was really good, and the team played great. Jaden had a great rookie year. That rookie class is really fun to talk about with Bo. Penix got a win last night against the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Six of the last eight quarterbacks drafted number one have had their coach fired during or after year one.
It's Kevin O'Connell line. Organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations.
Six of the last eight.
And the last five in a row.
That's alarming.
This is that stuff of like, there is so much of being a GM and an owner that you would have no idea how to negotiate or evaluate this. Or there's so many things that we would, like, if you ever got hired for that job, you would be in over your head and you'd have no clue how to handle it. And then there's some of the most basic stuff. A year ago, did anybody think Matt Eberflus was going to last long-term in Chicago? Like, I know a couple of idiots were like, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. Like, no, they're not. The number one pick's not taking the team to the Super Bowl. That just was a trendy offseason thing because they were on Hard Knocks. Anybody with a rational thought on that organization knew how that was going to go. He had not proven himself as a head coach. He didn't know what he was doing half the time on the sidelines. This isn't going to end well. And what did the Bears decide to do? They got the number one overall pick. They drafted a quarterback, and they decided to keep their defensive-minded head coach, who was essentially walking on thin ice. And that thin ice broke, and then halfway through the season, they had to fire him and bring in a new coach for their year two quarterback. And now what has happened to another number one overall pick? It's embarrassing how bad these organizations are run, and I feel terrible for the guys who get drafted early and have to go through this. There's a lot of examples. Not everybody does. Like, I think Bo Nix has been incredibly lucky to play for an experienced head coach in Sean Payton, right? Mahomes gets to go play for Andy Reid. You get some of these guys that land in a spot where you trust the coach and you trust the organization to make the right decision. And then there's so many examples of teams that just fail guys. And it becomes a question of, can you outlast their horrible decision-making, and are you good enough to rise above it? Not everybody is, and it's not fair to them, because look how many guys now in the NFL have had these redemption arc stories of, hey, remember when Freddie Kitchens was coaching Baker Mayfield as an interim head coach, and then they kept him around for another year, and then he won a playoff game, and then they still fired, you know, or got rid of him the next year? Just organizational incompetence is what is causing a lot of these careers to not get off to the start that they should. And thankfully now we've gotten to a point where there's enough smart head coaches that if they land in the right spot, they can still have a long-term NFL career.
I do think it's clearly some guys are able to establish themselves. Like, you give Washington some credit. And I know they lost last night, but it was a rainy game, and you give credit to the Bears. Washington is fine.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, what are they, 3-3? You don't want to be 3-3.
But Daniels missed some time. He's been banged up, and they've had some other guys hurt. And Dan Quinn is one of the more respected head coaches in the league.
But you give him credit because they got a stable coach.
Yes.
Right? He might not be everybody's favorite, but he knows how to coach football. He knows the defense, and he went and got an offensive mind. Like, they surrounded Jaden in a good environment.
Yes. For a guy who doesn't deserve to be a head coach, but is a very smart offensive play caller.
Well, I bet you, if Dan Snyder still owned that team, nobody would say Jaden Daniels is this, and I don't mean to take his skill and his talent away. I am also a believer in that your environment is largely going to dictate your success. And it's not that you can't overcome it. Like you mentioned Baker. Baker becomes the first Browns quarterback to win a playoff game, and then he gets hurt next year, and instead of them saying, let's let him sit out because he has a shoulder injury and we're not sure if we want to pay him, let's be patient, they go play, and he plays and he doesn't play well, and they back out of it and they go get Deshaun Watson, right?
Yep.
And then Baker bounces from Cleveland. He has to go to Carolina. He has to go to the Rams for a cup of coffee, and then he lands in Tampa. Say what you want about Todd Bowles. Dude continues to win his division, and before that it was Bruce Arians and Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl in their division. Yep. So, largely, Tampa in this real run organizationally has been very stable and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at the guys now who are having to completely change this over. I mean, we watched one of them get a dub yesterday in Caleb, right? Like, and he still has clunky moments. He looks like he's still kind of learning how to read a field and play NFL football versus, I think, in high school and college, it was, Caleb, go be great.
Yeah, street ball, go have fun.
And he was great at that. And I think you're still watching Caleb develop and grow as a processor, and I don't know what his top end is going to be, but maybe they've gotten serious.
I think they've gotten better around him, too, which helps tremendously. And I think 100%. They have a better head coach now than they did.
Odunze's having a great year. Like,
it helps it makes his life a lot easier that I don't have to be perfect and we can still go win a football game.
We're watching Sam Darnold blossom. It's just interesting to watch six of the last eight having their coaches fired during or after year one. I still think you're seeing Trevor Lawrence kind of relearn how to be a quarterback, even though he's won a playoff game.
Yes.
Like, it's nuts, but I'm like, he makes plays where I go, is Urban or Peterson still coaching you? Because Cohen seems to be a pretty smart offensive dude.
He does, yeah.
But he might have to
Duval.
Be relearning some of it, right? I like Cam Ward, but I just say that off of look and some throws, but nothing really with stat-based stuff, and I don't even know if he's going to develop, but I feel terrible. He's in a bad situation. The unfortunate thing is it just always brings it back to, is the process and setup in that league right of worst team gets one pick versus
not fair to the players, that's for sure.
In college, those kids get to commit or portal anywhere the hell they want.
I'm going to Georgia, I'm going to Alabama, I'm going to Oregon, I'm going to Ohio State, I'm going to Michigan, I'm going wherever I want, I'll go play.
And so Cam Ward got to say, I can go to Miami. Right now, I'm projected to be a 5th to 7th round or undrafted pick, or I can go to Miami and have some talent and opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that, and he shines out, and he becomes what he becomes last year. So, 6 of the last 8 to say their coach has been fired, or during or after year one, as Rust mentioned, last 5, it's just like, we are pretty critical of these guys at that position. And I just kind of think we all know we shouldn't be as critical as we are, but it's hard not to be when we watch the games play out, given the circumstance where these guys are. Where even Allen last night, he's an MVP. Even he's making stupid plays once in a while. That pitch play, he's starting to throw that pitch, that ball too far down the field on that pitch throw.
Calm down, Josh. Calm down.
But he's still Josh Allen, and you're not giving up on him. It just, from time to time, quarterbacking is just so hard, and then these organizations, just how much more difficult they're making it on.
Well, you mentioned a couple of guys. Think of the trio of guys who have been kind of connected and debated because of the tenure and when they came into the league. Tua and the start that he had in Miami with a head coach who didn't want anything to do with him. Now, I think injuries are going to likely derail his career in Miami as a dumpster fire right now, but he had a moment in time with Mike McDonald where you're like, or McDaniel, where you're like, hey, look, they found an offense. Here they go. This is looking functional again, and Tua looks like he belongs in the NFL level. Earlier in his career, it was a disaster for him. Trevor Lawrence is another great example of this, of a guy who maybe is finally coming into his own, because I would argue for the first time in his career, he's got a good head coach. I was a Doug Peterson guy. That clearly didn't work out. And Urban Meyer is one of the worst hires we have ever seen in the history of professional sports. That's not being hyperbolic. That's how much of a disaster that was. And that's how his NFL career started. And you're just setting a guy up for failure. One of the guys who has risen through this, because I think the organization has finally made the right call, and you got to give them credit for it because they're not known for doing the right thing. Look at Herbert's list of head coaches. He came in with Anthony Lynn, who got turfed his rookie year, fired immediately. They then go hire Brandon Staley, who was just an idiot and didn't know what he was doing, a defensive-minded head coach who hired a bad offensive coordinator. And lo and behold, they hired Jim Harbaugh, and what happens? Herbert has a great year. I know the season ended terribly for them in the playoffs, but they're back to like, hey, look at that. They look like they know what they're doing, and they're in first place in the AFC West right now, despite being decimated by injuries early on in the season. And so some guys are able to kind of survive and maintain long enough for the organization to get it right, and other guys that you give up on them, and I don't think there's any faith. Like, this would be the case for me with the Jets this year, and I know it's ridiculous to say it's 6 games or 7 games into his career. I don't know if Aaron Glenn knows what he's doing. There's been moments this year for the Jets that I'm just like, I think you're a good defensive mind. I think you're a great players coach. I think the guys love playing for you. But that's not what it takes to win and lose games on Sundays. You got to know what you're doing. And that situation at the end of the first half was embarrassing. That was similar to what happened with, who was the Broncos guy, the year when Russ, when they were on the road in week one.
Oh, Rodgers, this guy.
Yeah, whatever his dumb name
was. What was his name?
Nathaniel Hackett?
Nathaniel Hackett, thank you. And that the end of the game where you're like, are you calling, what are you?
They literally fired him after like 7 games.
And everybody watching were like, you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
You can't handle this. And so the Jets are the worst team in the NFL record-wise. They'll probably end up being the worst team. What are the Jets going to do with the number one overall pick?
Who's going to be head coach? Because I'm not ready to say the Jets are not the kind of organization that fires their coach year one.
I don't know if they will. So he probably will be the head coach next year. Maybe he's not, but they're going to have the number one overall pick. They're taking a quarterback. We all know they're going to take a quarterback. Do you think that guy's going to succeed? Do you have faith in that organization for getting that right around him? Because I have zero faith there.
It's tough, man, but 6 of the last 8, Cam Ward is the next one. Brian Callahan fired by the Titans yesterday. Just a crazy streak. Hey, 6 away.
Oh.
6 away.
Is it over?
We pulling out brooms.
Over.
Next, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates – Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
We'll dive into some landing audio. Also, Cignetti bound for Penn State.
Oh, is he leaving? Is he on the road? Gone. That'd be pretty brutal for Indiana right when they finally have two good years. That's tough. Such is life in college football, though.
Yeah. Move on. Get over it, Indiana.
That's right. I'm crying your beer. We'll find another coach.
Scott Barnes talked. We'll get to that. We've got a mail sack Tuesday to dive into coming up in the 9 a.m. hour. We also talk with Landon Trangwall, who covers the Big Ten. And he can give us his thoughts on the Penn State situation. He'll be on our YouTubes. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, hopefully.
Have you sent that to him and let him know that he's got to be on his phone while he's on?
Yep.
Okay, we got to change that.
All right.
You know.
That's above my pay grade.
Six wins away. Dare I say a sweep is about to happen in the ALCS.
Everybody hates you right now.
Bro, you can hate me all you want. It's been utter domination in two games, and I'd like to ask you what's going to change. The pitching's only going to get better when they go back to Seattle. They didn't even have their good pitching yesterday, and they still got 10 runs. They had more hits yesterday.
I'm laying out.
10 hits.
I'm laying out.
Than the Toronto Blue Jays have had combined in games 1 and 2. So, sorry, I'm dealing in facts right now. The Mariners are clearly a wagon, and the Blue Jays look like they're limping to the end of their season. They look like their feathers been clipped.
Sprague's doing his own the firm segment right now of 10 toes down.
10 toes down. This is a sweep. The Blue Jays
won't win a game. I have a Mariner ticket. I have a World Series Mariner ticket that I'm going to cash, and I'm going to delightfully smile about that.
This one came in. Please, please, please. I'm 44 years old. I've been a Mariner fan my entire life. It's bad enough Brandon has a future ticket on the Mariners. Can we not hype it up too much like it's already over? I don't think my heart can take it. That's from CP.
Six
and PDX.
More.
Six more wins. They're 6 wins away from winning a championship.
That was impressive yesterday, though. All jokes aside.
Absolutely it was.
Julio in the first. Polanco, another 3-run dong. Naylor went yard.
How did they miss that strike 3 call on a Rosarena right out of the gate, by the way? That was horrible.
He thought it was a strike three.
What are we doing? But, hey, you get a break like that, you got to capitalize on it. They did. And then they gave up the lead, and you're like, uh-oh, Toronto's finding a little life here offensively, and Naylor had kind of a wonky play, throwing it away at first base, and they found a way back into the game, and so you thought, uh-oh, did you let them off the hook, similar to the Detroit game in Game 4, mm-hmm. where you had a lead, it felt like it was over, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, we lost, now we got to go win Game 5? But they responded immediately. I agree with you. The series absolutely feels over. They got 3 in a row coming at home, and you just got to go win 2 of the 3 at home.
That place is going to be
The place
so
is going to be incredible,
loud.
And you're 2 wins in Seattle away from going to the World Series. 2 wins away from going to the World Series. Now, in terms of winning the whole thing, that's a different conversation for me. I feel like the Dodgers are now inevitable, and I hate to say it, because Mariner fans, if it's the Dodgers and the M's, I'll be right there with you. Trident's up, bitch. Somebody get me a Trident. I'll be right there on your side. But I've also
got some Dodgers fans out there like, hey,
whoa. I've also gotten to see the Dodgers up close and personal for most of the year, and they won the championship last year, and that team is absolutely loaded. And so they just seem like a different animal right now. I just have no faith in Toronto's starting pitching to get them back into the series.
Dude, their bullpen's been terrible.
And
too.
I have a ton of faith in Seattle starting pitching. And so do I think they're going to score 10 runs in every game? No, but they don't need to score 10 runs to win every game. That's the reason they're built the way that they're built. So you get a night like last night, it's great. You hope you didn't use too much offense in Game 2. It's one of those like, hey, can we save some of these runs for Game 3? Because watch them come back to Seattle and it's like nothing in the seventh inning and they have 2 hits. Because that wouldn't surprise me in the least. They have a hard time hitting in that ballpark. A lot of people do. But that was a very impressive win, and it feels like it's over. You're not wrong.
Yeah, because Toronto did the big run thing against the Yanks, and that is just not carried over.
They were hitting bombs left and right. Does Vladdy even have a hit yet in the series? I mean, I didn't see every second of the game yesterday.
He doesn't feel quite the same as when he stepped to the box as a against the Yankees.
He was a force in that series.
Every time he came up.
Here's a two-run home run. Here's a three-run home run. Here's a grand slam, and there's been nothing in this series.
I hear why you say what you say about the Dodgers. It's a fair point. I mean, you're reminded last night, like, oh, yeah. Freddie Freeman's on the team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shohei, they're up 1-0 in the NLCS, and I don't even know if Shohei Ohtani has gotten a hit yet in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's been pretty terrible.
He's been awful.
Hey, Sasaki's been one of the best closer relievers in baseball. Oh, but he's not our closer tonight. We're going Trinan.
You go Trinan.
Okay.
And it still worked out for him.
And it didn't matter all bases.
He should have blown it, and they didn't blow it.
No.
They, by the way, in two games of this series, Vladdy Jr. is 0-7.
Yeesh.
Oh, for he has not struck out, so at least he's got that going for him.
They're not wearing the home run jacket anymore, are they?
No.
Not a lot of that happening for them.
Not a lot of home run jackets currently for Toronto.
Mariner fan now getting ready, up 2-0, coming back home. It's a 2-3-2. That's the format for the LCS?
I believe it is 2-3-2. Jack.
What is Russ looking at?
I'm 98% sure it's 2-3-2.
Your update's written. What are you looking at over there?
So let's see.
Scrolling the old Twitter to see if there's anything new.
Any new news?
Not paying attention to the program, huh?
So game three in Seattle, Wednesday. Okay. Game four in Seattle, Thursday. Game five in Seattle, Friday.
Can I say this?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can win two of those games during the World Series.
I love the 2-3-2. I'm a traditionalist.
I'm a big 2-3-2 guy,
too. The 2-2-1-1-1-1 thing is just like, that threw me off the first time that happened to me in my sports life.
I think it puts a little more pressure on the home team to not do what Toronto just did, because now they're like, oh, crap, we're pooping our pants. We got to go win, you know, a couple in Seattle, or this series is all over. And it gives an advantage, you know, it just, I like the way it balances. And then if you don't take care of business on the road, if you do have a 2-0 lead, but then you go, and then you got two more games at home coming up. I'm a big 2-3-2 guy. I like the format.
Final point on this, because we'll probably end with some baseball stuff at the end of the program.
Did you see the Dodger play yesterday? That was pretty bananas, where
the guy, double play?
They hit the glove and then hit the wall, and then the ball was live, and then the players didn't realize the ball was live, and they got a force out at home.
The guy that made the play didn't know what was happening.
Jason Stark
wrote a piece about that double play, because you know how it was ruled? Ground out double play.
What?
And the ball never touched the ground.
No.
This has happened like six other times, and they've all been in the last like six, seven, 8 years.
I mean, it took me a second watching it of like, wait a minute, is that...
The official scorekeeper was asked, like, why did you rule this a ground out double play? And he goes, because technically by the rule, it is.
How else are you gonna score that? It's not a fly out.
I know, but like, why not just call it
That was weird. That was just one of those moments you're like, that is a once in a million chance.
Everybody was confused. Defense and offense both like, what's happening?
Did he catch it? Did he not catch it?
Does he need a tag? Does he not need a tag?
Is he going now? And they still ended up winning the game. They got that double play and they still ended up winning the game.
By the way, for the record, Dodger bullpen, two hits yesterday.
Oh.
Boy, it's terrible, that Dodger bullpen. Shove it, old man.
Don't let him do it, Seattle. Don't let him do it, all right?
Let's get back into some football. Is this guy destined for it? Does it feel that way? We'll get some landing audio, Scott Barnes audio around the corner. Dirt and Sprague back with more, but first, Rusty with a sports update.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Get your MILSAC questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the 9 a.m. hour. Landon Tangwall will join us starting 9 a.m. for the Daily Ticker. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
People hate you right now.
You're Rusty?
Well, no, you.
Although what did I do? I didn't mean to play the drop.
No, it's not the fat finger thing, although we did get a text from the brand man. He's not happy about that.
That was an accident.
Get your fat fingers off the mouses during breaks.
Look, that was one of each of us. The first one was me. The second one was Craig.
No, it is Mariner fan saying that they will never forgive you for this.
For getting a World Series ticket at good value before any of you were willing to jump on? Yeah, I'm sorry.
They will never forgive you for this if you go sideways.
Triden up. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Have some faith, damn it.
You ain't never been here before.
You're playing the Blue Jays.
Your last ALCS win, you were down 0-2. Suck it up, Buttercup. Act like you've been here before.
I mean, they haven't really been here
before. Okay, well, you know what?
They can't really act like that because never had a lead.
I'm a Braves fan. I have been born and bred into sadness and crying and never achieving it except twice.
Yeah.
And every time you got to go in thinking, we're going to do it.
This is our year.
Need a pep talk. Look in the mirror. Question yourselves. Be mad you're not with me on this.
Sprague, if this flips, man, you're going to be forever blamed. I will hate you forever.
I'm sorry. I'm in a dark place. My college football team basically doesn't exist. My NFL team can't keep anybody healthy. The Blazers are in a weird spot where I think they're good, but I could also see them not being good, but they have expectations, but they don't
have expectations. Hansen ripped it up on Friday night.
He did. Yeah, he did.
He looks great.
Yeah, he did.
How about Joe Davis carving a turkey in the middle of the sixth inning of an ALCS game? What are we doing?
That was kind of odd.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
happy Canadian Thanksgiving. I love you, Canada. Nobody cares. We're watching a baseball game. Why are we going to the booth to see John Smoltz eat a piece of turkey? And when the game was still tight at that point, it wasn't 10-3.
It was 1-0 forever.
It's a tight game in the sixth inning, and Joe Davis is carving a turkey in the booth like it's March.
Yesterday, Matt Rhule was asked about the Penn State job. I loved a couple of the coaches that were asked. Matt Rhule was an obvious candidate, right? Like, according to everybody's list, he might be number one.
I thought, let's play the audio, and then I listened to the clip, and it's like 3 minutes long.
Yeah,
like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
Too lazy, I got to be honest with you. And then I loved also Fran Brown being asked about the job.
Has he been washed? Is he going? Is he leaving?
Boy, if Fran Brown was a bigger candidate, and maybe he is and we don't know it, you would have taken his answer yesterday and said, oh, my God. Sound the alarm, because he was like, I mean, I'm at Syracuse right now. If I didn't want to be at Syracuse right now, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. That's one of the worst answers to that question I've ever heard.
You do the Willie Taggart. Why wouldn't I be the head coach of the Oregon Ducks?
Well, but, you know, a lot of the takeaway, and our guest Landon Tangwall is going to join us at 9. He had the opposite takeaway of like, no, you should have fired him. It was over, over, over. You needed to move on. And so I'll be curious to dive in with him on this at 9. Does this have the smell to you? Does it pass the sniff test of this is going to be Cignetti?
I mean, if they end up hiring Kurt Cignetti, I think they are totally redeemed in the light of anybody who questions the move. Because I don't think there's any doubt over the top coaches in the sport right now and where Kurt Cignetti falls into that category. Like, I've heard people have the conversation. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was essentially like, is this the best year and a half coaching job that we've ever seen in the history of college football? And it's on the short list, if not number one, of the most unbelievable turnarounds that we have ever seen. And so if you fire Franklin and you have an inclination behind the scenes that you think you can go get that guy,
mm-hmm.
by all means, pay the $50 million. It's worth it. I don't care if Cignetti's 64 or whatever he is. You give me 8 to 9 years of that, I'm willing to roll the dice with an elite coach and our resources and pairing the two together.
Dude, you beat the top-ranked teams and you win a title. Give me 3 years, and I'm
saying
I'm that's
fine
worth
with it. If it gets you over the hump and you get all that you wanted, right, then it's mm-hmm. totally worth the gamble and the roll of the dice. If you end up hiring Fran Brown, I will go back to what I said yesterday.
Well, they're not going to hire. I was making a joke.
They might,
Fran
though.
Brown,
we don't know.
Being...
We have no idea if they will. I have no idea who they're going to hire.
You're not.
Fran Brown's one of the favorites to get the job right now.
Yeah, that list is odd.
It is an odd list.
That's a weird
I'm
list.
Not denying
I don't
it.
Know if I like the list. And I heard their AD, Penn State's, and he basically acknowledged that, yeah, we can't win big games. What did you want from me?
Yeah, he admitted it wasn't just a three-game stretch. This was building to this year, and they couldn't win top five, top 10 games, and they came close, but would always fall short, and they lost the Oregon game, and then the season hit the crapper.
Yeah.
And it's they felt like they had to make the move. One interesting note, and I saw this from our guest at 9 yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Tangwell, he had a thing of the coaches in the college football playoff last year.
Tangwell,
Tangwell. What did I say?
Well, you're doing what I wanted to do a lot yesterday, Tangwell.
It's not well, it's Wall.
It's Wall, yeah.
Okay, we got to figure that out in the next hour or so.
You'll get it figured out.
Of the 12 teams in the playoff, do you know how many were coached by a first-time head coach? Not like first year, but like this, their job they're at, they were a first-time head coach when they got hired.
Ooh, from last year.
From last year's playoff.
Well, Boise State's. Was Boise State's his, was that his first?
Yeah, okay. Spencer Danielson had never been a head coach before.
Dillingham?
Dillingham, two.
Lanning.
Lanning, three.
Hold it.
There's a few obvious
We're
ones in here when I say
counting Cignetti, right? Because he had been a head coach.
Nope, Cignetti had been a head coach before.
Okay. Ryan Day.
Ryan Day, 4.
National champion.
Yep.
Give me the rest.
Marcus Freeman.
Yep. Thank you.
Kirby Smart.
Oh, yep. Touche.
Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo.
Rhett Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
That gets you to 8 of the 12
eight
are first
of the 12.
Time. The only non-first time head coaches were Sark.
Yep.
James Franklin, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Cignetti, who you mentioned, and Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
Okay. So 8 of the 12 are first-time head coaches. And I thought that was an interesting look of, that's 1 year. It's a total random snapshot. I don't know if that's going to be how it is every year.
I also think their track record as assistants paired with where they became head coaches for the first, like Kirby went to Georgia, Lanning at Oregon, Freeman at Notre Dame.
And Penn State would say we have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
We are Penn State and we have those resources.
I think it's
and
a
so
fair point.
If we go get the next up-and-coming guy and we pair them with the right resources, we can have a ton of success.
I guess what I would ask is this of, does it really feel like they're making that move because they know they get him? Or do you think
they were so down and out on him that they said, screw it,
blow it up, we'll figure it out, and hopefully we get the best guy.
I think in their dream world, they would hire Kurt Cignetti, because how would you not? He has to be the number one guy on your big board right now. I just don't know if he's at 64 is willing to move. And I gave you the football operating budgets yesterday. The budget is not that different
he's
in Indiana.
He's got some Pennsylvania background.
He does. There's no doubt.
The Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
I also just think, like, at the age of 64, you've spent... Like, what if Indiana makes it to the national championship this year and he proves that he can do that there? What is the need to go move to another job?
Well, I think he should already feel that way, given what he just did this past
weekend.
He
just led him to a play.
Why can't he do it all there?
Well, and I think the other part for him is, like, you're going to be an all-time legend at Indiana. No matter what, you are already the best coach in the history of their university.
Yes, you are.
And, look, there's some statues that got torn down at Penn State, but they got a pretty legendary history. Mm-hmm. And if you don't win 11 games every year, they're going to want to run your ass out of town.
Yeah.
And 10 wins at Indiana, you are a Greek god in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he ends up taking... I don't think they fired him knowing that they had the next guy in place. I genuinely don't. I think it just got so ugly and so toxic. They were worried about fans not showing up anymore. The quarterback got hurt. They knew the rest of the season was going to be a disaster.
The boosters clearly also were very
loud. Well, and then it
internally.
Also came out, like, yesterday I was reading some of the details of the buyout, and it's like... It's essentially he has to go apply for a job. It's in his contract. He has to try and get a job in coaching or TV. He can't just sit on his ass and take the buyout. And then there's a cost of...
Well, he'll be on TV in a... He'll bring him on this week if
so you pay
to.
Him $1.5 million on TV, then Penn State covers the rest, and it's basically $8 million a year for the next however many years.
Gotcha.
So it's not a lump sum, you just paid $50 million, and he is mandated in his contract to look for work, and he's going to go find work.
Yes,
James
for
Franklin.
Sure. Yes.
And so it's not like, I think we think of $50 million, you're like, who just wrote a check for $50 million to fire him?
Right.
And they eventually will pay that, but that's not the way the contract is set up.
I just, we're going to look back on that, and it may end up being the right move. That is going to be, in our lifetime, dude, it really might be the craziest coaching program situation ever.
Yeah.
And I understand the history of Penn State and what that meant and how crazy that was. But, like, in terms of in-season, just coaching, wins, losses, that, never seen it before.
Yep.
And we may never see it again.
And you're jumping into the abyss.
Yeah.
Is it going to help you out? Maybe it will. Georgia hired Kirby Smart, and they won two national titles after Mark Richt couldn't win more than 10 games. And then you got Florida, who fired Dan Mullen and hired Billy Napier, and now they're going to fire Billy Napier.
I got an Oregon question, fallout from the Franklin stuff. We got a landing cut. We'll get to Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1, The Fan. Somebody suggesting that Indiana loses Cignetti to Penn State, and Indiana says, all right, we'll take James Franklin.
It'll be a fun little trading of coaches. You're our coach now. Come on down, James Franklin. Somebody's going to hire him. It's just a question of if he wants to work in TV or not for a while and check out the landscape of the sport.
Are there draft picks exchanged in there, too?
Yeah, it might have to be. A couple of NIL dollars.
Quarterbacks change the way Tennessee and UCLA did.
We'll give you James Franklin and four scholarships for Kurt Cignetti. Who says yes?
I mean, we would all fear Cignetti at Penn State, but it wouldn't really change how I feel. He's a good coach. I don't know if he'd win a title. I don't even know if he's going to win a title this year.
Well, and like somebody said, Dirt, I disagree with about Sigs being the best coach. If we're still in the era where paper brown bags were handed out and he did this, I would agree. But the fact that he can pay his players stains it for me. So I guess my question is, what's the difference there of paying a guy in a paper bag or paying a guy in NIL? And I also don't
Can I try to sort that out? So the person is saying
in the era of
that...
the NIL, he doesn't think it's the most impressive coaching job a year and a half or 2 years in. I'm assuming it's with the Texas meaning.
And man, that person might be, maybe they're right. They would have never picked Indiana to be what Indiana is.
We have to acknowledge it. Like, they're a legitimate title contender right now. Indiana. And I think that's one of the reasons we've had such a hard time. Well, I say that as a Duck fan. Like, that's one of the reasons Oregon fans have had a hard time swallowing that one of, like, it was Indiana.
Well, I was going to ask you yesterday, because there was a lot of people talking about that game. We dove into that game for a whole hour, right? You know, look, Oregon gets Rutgers. They're going to respond. Rutgers is not that good. And then they get Wisconsin, who's the worst team in that conference, at home.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt Oregon is still a playoff-bound team, and they have some games I'm circling. I did want to ask you today, another day removed from the loss.
Sure.
Does Franklin being fired and seeing Penn State lose to UCLA and Northwestern, and now you kind of look at the schedule and your biggest game now is Indiana and they beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you have to recalibrate Oregon in general?
I think there's a little bit of that for sure. I have a hard time with Penn State. There's no question in the first three games that they did not look great.
Because we talked about that going into that,
Their offense is a little clunky. That doesn't change the fact that there's a lot of NFL talent on that team. And there's a reason people were very high on that roster going into the year. They got one of USC's best wide receivers in the portal. They got Syracuse's best wide receiver in the portal. They returned two elite running backs. The offensive line is supposed to be good. So you can give me the coordinator hires weren't great, and that's maybe why things derailed. But I also think we talked about it the week of the game. Like, I mentioned how much pressure was on Penn State, and some people tried to do the, well, Lanning's got pressure. I'm not saying Lanning didn't have pressure. I think when you read into what's going on there and what the feeling has been for essentially a decade of those fans, that was it for them. That was their game. And so I think there's a combination of Penn State clearly is not the team that we thought they were coming into the year, or many people thought they were, while also I think there's a part of that response that the Oregon game just simply broke them, that they put all their eggs into that basket, and the second that thing went sideways, and especially how much they struggled throughout and then had a glimmer of hope, and then it was snatched away from them in a moment's time, I think they hit the side of a mountain and said, oh my God, it's happening again, and they've just essentially quit on their season. I think both things can be true at the same time.
That's a weird place to be, though, too. You know, you're like,
yes,
I think I'm right here with this opinion, but if I'm not,
are we
going to get beat again by another really good team?
No doubt about it. Maybe Oregon, I have no clue how Oregon season's going to go.
I wouldn't even know how to feel if I was you about this. You know, I still think the team is good. Still think they're going to go to the playoff, But Indiana was really well coached and ready, and Penn State losing to Northwestern at home.
Their season has been a tailspin. It's been a disaster.
God, that's a crater.
Ever since that game. I also would say that I think Oregon played terribly this weekend for essentially not defensively. They were fine defensively.
Yeah, their offense
was terrible, and their special teams was a disaster. And the game was 20-20 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
I know, you had
there's
an opportunity
a balance.
And you
they
didn't
had
play
the
well.
Ball in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go with a chance to tie the game, and there was a deflected pass that got picked off, and that's when the game was over at that point. So there's the balance there too of like, yeah, they lost, but it was, I don't know. It's a very weird feeling. It's a very, very weird feeling.
I was gonna do this as a segment, and I'm already against it because I want to get to the third hour. This is a question that we either do today or we do tomorrow. If I made you pick who you would gamble on to win the college national championship or the Super Bowl, I don't think you have a clear-cut favorite in either one, and I don't think you have one you feel more confident in than the other.
No.
That is... And we've had years where there's been some parity in college football, but mostly our lifetime has been, well, I'm taking Alabama. I'm taking Georgia. I'm taking LSU.
Has Ohio State become that?
I don't know, because I don't know how...
I think their offense is very good. No,
they responded this weekend. They didn't start slow. They kind of came out the gate and they handled their business against Illinois in a way that made some people maybe question it. Maybe they have. I'm just saying, like, in years past, you could bet on somebody.
You're not wrong there.
And now, maybe you are confident Miami's going to do it, or it's Bama, or it's your Oregon Ducks, or it's, I don't know if there is one. Maybe there is. Maybe it's Ohio State.
The sport seems wide open. Even for Ohio State, I think their defense is probably the best single unit in the sport. Like, I don't know if anybody's scoring 20 points in that defense all year. Mm. But their offense leaves something to be desired, and their numbers aren't great, and they're not moving the ball down the field a ton. And I think the thought is maybe they scale up because it's a young quarterback and they get better as the season goes on. But I would lean Ohio State right now just because I think that defense is the single best unit of collection of players that exists in the country right now.
Loaded third hour. We got that Dan Lanning audio clip we can get to. Scott Barnes talked. We got the mail sack to get to today at 9:15-ish. So 503-864-6326. Landon Tangwall is going to join us at 9 a.m. for the ticker. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.